each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon and welcome to Winds of Change. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it's my privilege to be sitting in for Father Anthony today here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And it is in a particular way my privilege because I am joined today by a Chicago radio legend. I'm a little bit starstruck here in the studio this afternoon because I am with, here in studio, Kevin Matthews, who, for many of you who are from the Chicago area, Kev heads will remember Kevin Matthews, who I believe at one point you had 10 million listeners a week, didn't you, Kevin?
The height of AM 1000.
Right.
We had 10 million a week.
And who has not been to a wedding where someone has yelled out Freebird to the wedding band? And that was you.
It's global.
You created a global phenomenon. Okay, we have to get to that at some point. But you may be asking yourselves, why is Kevin Matthews on a Catholic radio show? Well, Kevin Matthews has written a book called Broken Mary, which details his sort of, I guess, not conversion, but reversion, right, to the Catholic faith, sort of.
People ask me a couple of days ago, or they'll ask, when did you become a Jesus freak?
Yeah.
And I say, age of four.
Right.
I was four.
Right.
I wanted to go to heaven.
Right.
I grew up in this, outside Detroit. And I look back, 1961, think of what it was going on with riots and Vietnam, this new thing, Vietnam. And so it was chaotic outside and chaotic inside. And I was four, and my parents would take me to Catholic church, and it was an ominous building. And there was this guy named Jesus that, would protect you. So I just wanted to go home because my dad was, had a lot of drunk alcohol, violence,
drinker.
And I just wanted, hey, Jesus, take me to heaven.
Yeah, well, I want those first couple chapters of the book, which I loved, by the way, they really became sort of part of my daily morning prayers. I would read a chapter and I would, do my morning devotions. And the things you had to say, I think, will just resonate with so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who grew up with a sort of abusive childhood issue, I think is going to find a lot of hope and comfort in what you had to say. You're so honest about, the issues that your dad did have with alcohol and some of the things that came about as a result of that. But I don't want to get too far ahead of yourself because I have to say, this is one of these books. I don't always read the introductions to books, but for whatever reason, I did for this one. And I tell you, you had me at the introduction because the introduction by Sister Lucia, who is a Franciscan sister, who you encountered, I tell you, it will transport any Catholic school student immediately back to seventh grade, diagramming sentences with the sister who taught them how to diagram a sentence.
Yeah.
So you have to tell us, how did that awesome introduction to your book come to be?
Well, as we get into this conversation, Sister Lucia, I'm a con artist.
Okay.
I am like Huck Finn.
Okay.
And
she saw right through you?
Well, again, we'll find out how I found this statue of the Virgin Mary next to a dumpster, which I did. And there's a story on that, but I ended up meeting these Franciscan nuns because in order for me, maybe I should tell you how I found
the
statue.
We'll go through this chronologically. Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
What I ended up doing quickly is I found a statue. I went to get my wife some flowers. I just heard this voice, go get your wife some flowers. I pulled into a flower shop that happened to be right there, no coincidence. I get out of the car, and I'm walking towards the door, and over I see a dumpster, and I can't help but notice that looks like a statue of the Virgin Mary in the ground, on the ground.
Right.
I walk over. She's broken in half. She's covered in garbage, in weeds, and my heart just sunk. But that's when I heard this distinct voice say, "Will you deny me? And will you deny my mother?"
Wow.
And I looked at her, and I walked in to the flower shop, and there's the, I'm the only one in there, and the clerk, you know, little bell, "Hi, can I help you?" "Yes, can I buy that statue of the Virgin Mary outside?" She goes, "No, it's not for sale." And again, that's when I heard this voice, "Will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?" And I thought, well, maybe I could come back and steal it, but what is that?
Right.
Okay, that's not going to happen. So I just, out of nowhere, I just said, "Help me, God." I just, quick prayer like that. And out of nowhere, I just said, "I'll give money to those Franciscan nuns that live around here."
Right.
I had no idea who nuns and they lived around here.
Right.
And she, the woman, she goes, "I recognize your voice. Are you, you're in the morning. You do the morning show." Yeah. "Hey, how about if I give money to those nuns that live out around here?"
Right, in your name.
Your name. She, sure. So I said, "Thank you." I didn't even buy flowers for my wife. I got out, and again, I just got diagnosed with MS, so it's slippery, and I pick up one half, put her in my truck, come back.
So she was literally broken in half.
She was broken in half. Right. Mary was, her hands are missing. She's covered in dirt and garbage, and I make a little bed for her, and I drove home. I turned the heat up. "You know, Mary, I'm going to get you all warm," and took her home, put her in the garage, made another little bed, and there she sat, you know, until springtime.
Okay.
And
so what year was this?
This is 2011.
Okay.
And a very dear friend of mine, who I've known for quite a while, I called him Father Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Father Mark, I found this statue, and she's broken in half, and you got to see her." And he mentioned a monument maker.
Okay. Well,
take her over there in the spring. I did. This monument maker looked at her, and she's in two pieces. "Oh, yeah, I can fix her. I can put her together, and I can make new hands. Her hands are missing."
Right.
"And we can paint her. She'll look brand new." And I looked at her, and at that time, I just said, "No, I want to keep her broken because she really reminds me of me."
Mm-hmm.
Because I was being tossed out of radio. I was garbage. I was of no use. I got MS. And everybody, I think, can relate. We're all broken.
Right.
And I said, "No, just put her together, but don't paint her or put the hands together." And that's how this started. And eventually I had to go to the Franciscan nuns, as promised.
Okay.
And there they all were, and they all invited me to talk about this little statue I found, and I had her there. And I just basically said, "You know, we're all broken. That's how come I kept her broken, and I call her Broken Mary."
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. And then Father Mark was in attendance that night, and he goes, "You know, that's a really strong message. We're all broken. Why don't you say that at my homilies?" Which,
wow. So he wanted you to speak at all the masses.
I did.
At his parish.
So,
okay.
Getting back to the Franciscan nun.
Right.
That's 2011. I meet her. And then about 2000, and so much is starting to happen. Once the statue got blessed, Mary really, it's like she woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Father Mark, people were really interested in the story. A lot had happened, and he goes, "You should really write this down. You should write a book about this." He goes, "I know a Franciscan nun, Sister Lucia. She's a writing professor at Grand Valley. I'll arrange a lunch." I said, "Sure." So we go, and here's this tiny little Franciscan nun, and you can't be over 5 foot to be a Franciscan nun.
Right, yeah. It's like with Mother Teresa's sisters. It's the same thing. There's a height limit.
Yeah, she's in her brown habit, and we're at an Italian restaurant. And she's just looking at me. I notice there's a lot of dead time, you know. She's just kind of looking and going through the procedures. And Father Mark says, "You know, he found this statue. It's fascinating, the people that are coming to it and what's happening." And I said, "Yes, sister, you're a writing professor. I can give you some bullet points. You can write the book."
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me like, "I'm not going to write this book. You're going to write the book. I don't know how to spell."
Right.
She goes, "We have spell check."
Right.
But I found out later that she went to her mother superior and said, "I don't want anything to do with Kevin Matthews."
Wow.
"Just nothing. I don't want to do this." And mother, who Sister Conaline Ann, said, "I want you to think about this. You need to do this."
Right.
So she did. And man, oh man, oh man, she was that, she was so stern with me, and she despised me. I'm like, she would ask me questions. She goes, tell me about your childhood.
Okay.
I just, raw.
Right.
Tell me about this. Tell me about that. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And as we got to know each other, she kind of let up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we had to meet.
Okay.
We had to meet because we had to see where we're at with the book. And we went to Culver's. And I bought a hamburger, and I'm bringing it back to the table, and I go, and I just dig right into my hamburger.
Uh-huh.
She just yelled.
You didn't say grace.
You didn't say grace. Oh. Kevin, we're going to say grace. So here I am in Culver's saying grace with a Franciscan nun. And I know there are people going, isn't that Kevin Matthews? What's he doing with that nun?
Oh, hilarious.
So basically what had happened was she did come around. And she asked me questions, and it's because of her that this book you can read in one day.
Mm, right. Know? It's you really can't. I mean, it's not like a pamphlet, but there's a lot
confession
of substance to
is what
it
is. It's truly confession because I wanted to just cut to the chase, and people can relate to this book, I think.
Right. Well, I just think it's I actually would caution against trying to do it in one day because there's so much there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need a couple of days to absorb, a few chapters at a time because you, you've lived a rather remarkable life.
Oh, yeah.
And you really have. I mean, and just to kind of look at when you get to I was actually sad when it ended because I hope you do a sequel to it after Broken Mary, takes her tours and stuff to tell us what happens next.
I will.
But, the book begins with this awesome, awesome introduction by Sister Lucia, who essentially encapsulates what Kevin just told us, which is that he wanted her to write the book, and she said, "I'm absolutely not writing this book for you. You're writing it yourself, young man."
Right.
And you can hear the sternness coming through, but it's a wonderful way to begin the book, and then you take us to your childhood. And you know, you mentioned when we first started talking, Kevin, that you've been a quote Jesus freak since you were four,
right.
And you had this kind of relationship with someone you called your alien,
mm-hmm.
and which I think was either your guardian angel or the Lord. I'm not sure if you have a sense.
Well, yeah, my mom always used to say she'd catch me talking to myself, and then one day she said, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "Spaceman."
Mm-hmm.
"Can't you see him?" And she's like, "Okay, great. This kid's going to turn out well."
Right.
And again, I really honestly believe I was such a little person in that church. And I'm four.
Right.
And I hear about this guy named Jesus, and he's, almighty and protect. Well, I took it literally.
Yeah.
And I can remember when I got the proof back, the proof of the book, I had to read it because Sister Lucia said, "We've all got to look for mistakes and whatnot."
Right.
And I can remember I read the first four pages and I put it down. I couldn't read it. It was haunting to me.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Sister goes, "Did you read the book?" And I go, "Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then I thought, man, I've got to get this thing proofread.
I just lied to a nun.
I had to in 24 hours.
Right.
I had to read it and whatnot. But, it starts off that walking to school as a six-year-old,
right?
How frightening that was.
Yeah, and you had to pass some really frightening houses, but that you constantly invoked the spaceman or this being that you knew was with you.
Right. You know what is amazing? As I look back at it now, when I found the statue, and had I just not gone to the flower shop, or had I just heard that voice, "Will you deny me," and just walked away, I wouldn't be here today.
Right.
This book wouldn't be here today. But what it is as soon as that statue was put together again, just the half of it, and Father Mark blessed it, that's when Mary takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I look back at this is all about Mary. This is all about two things. Fatima, this book led me and others to Fatima.
Right.
And it led to the rosary. That's all. Whenever you are doing anything related to Mary, the first thing she's going to do is teach you, you're going to go to the rosary.
Right.
I had no idea how to read a rosary.
Right.
And after I found the statue, I found myself one Lent, I thought, I'll learn the rosary. Or I'll at least say the rosary.
Right.
And then it came to Lent time.
Right.
I had to Google how to say the rosary.
Well, you and a lot of other people.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of Catholics who don't have it. But, Kevin, we're going to break now. And when we come back, listeners, we're going to continue our conversation with Chicago radio legend Kevin Matthews about his new book, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am having a conversation with Chicago radio legend Kevin Matthews about a new book he's written called Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. And Kevin, for the listeners who didn't grow up in the Chicago area during the time of your career here, can you take us just sort of briefly through your career? You sort of started out in college radio, and then you went into stand-up comedy. And
yeah, I went to school to be a teacher, and then my roommate had the little radio station, college station. I got interested in that, and I just kind of gravitated towards radio. And eventually, that was in Michigan, I got a chance to I was in St. Louis for 9 months, and I was sending audio up to The Loop.
Okay.
Steve Dahl.
Right.
Gary Meyer. And
right.
They were playing it. And they said, you know, we should hire this guy.
So you were standing audio up like just comedy bits? Or?
Yeah. I was doing Ronald Reagan was in office then. And so I would send them. I was so bored in St. Louis, I had to send something up.
Right.
And so I sent Steve and Gary all this tape. They liked it. And then I got into Chicago. In Chicago, when we took over AM 1000, everybody was listening our age to FM.
Right.
And here we get this AM station that gets into 32 states in Canada.
Right.
And Steve Dahl, Brandmeier, me, Howard Stern, we changed the face of radio.
Right.
People are flying in from all over the country listening to us, taking our ideas.
Right.
So what we did, we revolutionized talk radio back then.
Yeah.
And it...
With that mix of talk and news, a little bit of news and a little bit of sports and music.
We own Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're up there with, you know, Michael Jordan's new to Chicago. The Bears had just won the Super Bowl. I mean, we own this place.
Yeah.
But when I say we owned it because we did everything with you, the audience.
Right.
We went to school. We had kids. We got married. We lived together. We partied together. We went outside. We were accessible.
Right.
And, 10
And you were always
people.
At different, you know,
always.
Events and
events.
Charity events and things.
I got kicked out of 10 golf outings that I had. You know, it was comedy jams, rib festivals, toga parties.
Right.
It was crazy.
And people, I think that's, you know, I think you hit onto something there, Kevin, because I do think people felt like, even though they'd never met you, that they knew you.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was telling people that I was going to be interviewing them, they're like, wow. You know, I mean, it was like they feel like you were a cousin of theirs or something.
Well, I never got above the audience ever in my life. I love the audience. The audience has become now some of my best friends.
Right.
You know, who's got a pool? We'll come over and do a show. You know, it was just, we'll go to Vegas. Let's get married. We did everything together. And now here we are. In our 40s, our 50s, our 60s, da-da-da-da-da. We've got kids, second-generation capheads. You know, I worked at The Loop, CBS, ABC, traveled the world, went around the world. I've been blessed. Got a great family, and here we are today.
Yeah, you had an incredible career.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, you tell people, but it's interesting because some of the bits and the skits and some of the events and stuff didn't always, how do I phrase this, like it wouldn't exactly comport with Catholic you know,
No.
Life.
That's one of the things here, you know, and I, up until about 2005, I'm in Chicago and I decided, you know what, radio's changing. I'm getting bored with my own show.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Michigan where it all started. That's 2005 I did. And I'm commuting back and forth because my daughter wants to graduate from high school
where she was going.
Right. Plus the real estate market imploded, mm-hmm. so now I had to go back and forth. But what had happened was, I can remember when I went back to Grand Rapids and Father Mark.
Right.
This is before.
This is like a childhood friend, isn't it?
I've just known him for a long time.
Yeah.
And I went back and I decided I'll go to St. Anthony's and I see Father Mark and whatnot, but I can remember there's this statue of the Virgin Mary in church, and I couldn't look at her in the eye.
Yeah,
I just had to turn away. And the thing is, in 2008, I was on the air, and I thought I was having a stroke. I couldn't move.
Yeah.
I couldn't move my arm, my leg. Found out doctors thought it could be a cancer brain tumor.
This came on very suddenly.
Real
you were just
suddenly.
On air and you just
right.
couldn't. Yeah.
And I'm in Chicago and I'm about an hour away from a brain biopsy, which I'm thinking, this is going to hurt.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, I was thinking of the Three Stooges, you know.
Right.
And anyways, the neurologist came in and said, no, you've got a rare form of MS.
Mm-hmm.
So between 2008, 2011, I'm going through all this treatment, and I'm just, it's like I got hit by a car.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly I can't do radio. I can't, my balance and everything is so off.
And one of your hands, an arm, your right hand.
I can't use it. What am I going to do? I can remember I had MS, and Dave Mason, the mm-hmm. singer, was in Grand Rapids performing, and I know Dave really well. And I got up on stage to introduce him,
mm-hmm.
and the heat from the lights, I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Mason. Then all of a sudden I can't move. And Dave and the band are trying to get off stage, and I couldn't move.
Right. You know, they thought you were pulling a bit on them,
What if I would have fallen into Dave's guitar and smashed it? That would have been. You know, but
can't plan things like that, though, Kevin, unfortunately.
So like you said, did I fit the Catholic standards or
no? Well, you know, I have to say that was one part of your book I found very, very touching, because I have three daughters, and mm-hmm. when you were talking about how you went into church and you couldn't look at Our Lady, and then you went to confession, and mm-hmm. There's a wonderful line in the book, listeners, where Kevin talks about beginning his confession by saying, it's been 1964 since my last confession, which I thought was a very good way, rather than counting up all the years. But that you talk about, like, for example, you know, these golf outings you did where there would be topless women, you know, washing the golf balls and that sort of thing. And how you thought to yourself, those girls were somebody's daughters.
Yeah.
You know, and that, like, just for me as a mom of girls mm-hmm. and in a culture that is so sexualized, that you were humble enough to admit that and admit that even though you never cheated on your wife, you never did anything with any of these women, yet that was a violation of their dignity.
I pushed it as far as I could. It was a time to grow up. But again, like I said, when the statue, the Broken Mary statue, was blessed is when things...
Right. At what point that you find this statue, you have her just put back together, really repaired, not restored. Had you gone, made your first confession, not your first confession, but had you kind of reconciled with the church at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the statue was blessed by this same Father Mark who heard your confession. And then things start to happen. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as soon as she got blessed, I started having dreams. And this is October 7th. I'd say, Father Mark, what's going on October 7th? Well, to find out, that's a big battle, 14th mm-hmm. century.
Right. It's a feast of Our Lady of the Rosary,
yes,
Our Lady of Victory. Right?
Who it was a battle won by,
by Christian soldiers saying the rosary.
Against Muslim. Rome was about ready to fall, and the Pope said, everyone recite the rosary, and this battle will be won by the rosary, which it was. But I had this dream of in Grand Rapids, it's a children's hospital, DeVos Children's Hospital. And it was Our Lady was saying, for every child that has been in the hospital, give them a rose in my honor.
Hmm.
Well, I'm unemployed. That's over 2,000.
So you felt like you heard this.
You
did hear it. Okay.
And I called up a florist, a friend of mine, and I said, Bing, can I have 2,300 roses delivered? Oh, yeah, we did.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, Broken Mary's in the hospital. The kids come down. They can smell the roses. We take the roses. I dry and make paint out of the rose petals. I enter a painting into Art Prize, which is a big deal over in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
But what happened was we got public attention. Broken Mary had broken into the public.
All right. And that's Children's Hospital.
Children's Hospital. Okay. And then more and more happened.
Right.
Where all of a sudden it's now 2000 and it's really soon. And again, you're not going to do, Mary is not, you got to know the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I committed to say the rosary, but I had to Google, and I Googled, and there was an audio recording of this Irish priest reciting the rosary, and I'm thinking to myself, it's crackly, and I said, you know, I could do that. I could record, and okay, I'll do that. Well, that took 6 months.
Right, to get it perfected.
Well, because of my diction, and then eventually Sister Lucia, the Franciscan nun, she comes into the recording studio, and she's like, it's hallowed. I mean, she's just like, this poor woman. She's writing a book with me. Now she's, you know, got to do the rosary.
You're going to write a book on Sister Lucia next. That's what I want to see.
Well, we go to Fatima.
I want Sister to go on tour with you.
We will. And so eventually, we finally get this thing done. It's launched on Apple.
Okay.
Now people, you can, and folks listening, if you've got an iPhone, you can, in your app store, go Broken Mary Project.
Okay.
And you can download, and I narrate the rosary.
Wow.
Well, what happened, as soon as I did that, it started to take off. It's being downloaded all over the world, especially in the Philippines. Now I've got people going, well, I don't have an iPhone. So I did it. I have BrokenMary.com for smartphones.
Awesome.
That's being
okay, so you can just go to BrokenMary.com and then listen to the rosary. You know, if you don't know how to say the rosary, like Kevin Matthews did not, then this is a way where Kevin can walk you through how to say
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, we have the book. We have the apps. Now, when I got treated in 2008, the only religious item that I had, my wife went to Europe, and she stopped by, now, it's no such thing as a coincidence. She was in Fatima on Mother's Day 2001. She came home and bought this Fatima booklet, and it's got a picture of our mother on. And when in 2008, when I went to the hospital and brain tumors, this is the only thing I had, and I put it in my pocket. I kept that forever.
Okay.
And I eventually, it's 2015. I look at the back, and I go, "Why didn't I write that? Why didn't I write to this website?" I did. Right. I hit send. I get a response back, and I'm starting to now correspond with the people with the Fatima statue.
Okay.
I get introduced to people down in Portugal at Fatima.
So this is the pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which for listeners, for what you don't know, is a statue of that depicts Our Lady in the apparition of Fatima, Portugal, with the three children, and it travels from homes or parishes or hospitals.
Since like 1952,
it's been traveling, and it's associated with a lot of different graces for any families or communities that welcome it into.
Right.
So that's what Barry's referencing. So you email the traveling version of Fatima people, and what happens then?
Well, eventually I meet this woman, Joan Alex, Judy, the caretaker of the Fatima statue. We become real close. I decide now, wait a minute, this whole book is about two things, the rosary and Fatima.
Right.
I'm supposed to go to Fatima. So we get a book deal. How we got a book deal, Sister Lucia, the writer, nun, she submits the transcripts to three of the biggest publishing companies. They all want it. There's a bidding war.
Wow.
Oh, Mary wants this book out.
Wow.
And so we go with Beacon, and that's the biggest Matthew Kelly and Dynamic Catholic, that's who we go with.
Right.
And then the proceeds, I decide I'm going to take Father Mark and Sister Lucia and myself to Fatima. But in 2016, at the beginning, at St. Anthony's, I begin to lead a rosary for all the kids that attend the school, the little kindergarten all the way up to seventh.
Wow.
For a year, every month, we're doing the rosary in prep for the 100th anniversary. But we've got kids in Portugal and Fatima praying the rosary with us.
Wow, how beautiful.
So by the time this spring, we go to Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that happened in Fatima are
just
unbelievable.
Remarkable. Well, we're going to go to a short break, Kevin. So when we come back, I hope that you'll tell us what happened. We're going to keep people hanging on the edges of their seats here. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm filling in today for Father Anthony here on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined this afternoon by Kevin Matthews, who is a radio legend here in the Chicago area, and the author of a book called Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope. And which it is a wide ranging book in terms of the areas of Kevin's life that it covers, but it the heart of it is his relationship with Mary, with Our Lady, and his growing love and knowledge of the Rosary. And Kevin, so you were just before we went to the break, you were keeping listeners tuned in by telling them that you got to go with the proceeds from the book to take Father Mark and Sister Lucia, who was the book's editor, to Fatima, and
right.
You were starting to say that some amazing things happened to you there. And I know one involves a woman and one involves a pine cone.
So I
want to hear both stories.
And a woman.
Yes.
The thing is, and by this time, and Sister Lucia and I, our relationship now is very, very dear. I love her. She loves me and Father Mark. And so we go to Fatima, and we're in Fatima, and I've been prepping for Fatima with the rosary, with all these children in Michigan and Fatima. We land in Fatima, and Father Mark was asked to do 2 masses at Fatima.
Okay.
And Fatima is gigantic,
yeah.
If you've ever seen it.
Yeah.
It's like 10 football fields long, 10 wide, concrete to accommodate so many people. And this spring, we went because the crowds wouldn't be so big because the Pope had come and made saints out of
two of the children.
Yeah. And so we're there in the spring, and we're there. Father Mark had to say his first Mass at 5 o'clock. Everything runs on a clock in Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a little chapel, and we couldn't find the chapel. And out of nowhere, this old Portuguese woman came up, and she's broken English, and the chapel's there, points over there.
Okay.
And it's right over there, about 20 yards. And we turn to walk up the steps, and I turn around, and she's gone.
Wow.
And there's not a lot of people. This is, I said.
At that time in the morning, certainly.
Well, yeah.
Too.
I mean, it was, you know, you've got all this concrete, and this lady should be there. She's gone. And I said to Father Mark, Father Mark, where did that lady go? And he looks, he goes, I don't know.
Wow.
And he went into because we would have been late.
Sure.
And then another thing is, Fatima is such a, I felt such sadness in Fatima. And Our Lady, when she appeared to the 3 shepherd children, she was very sad all the time.
Right, right.
Because no one's listening to her son or whatever. And Fatima is as important today, if not more important than it was 100 years ago. But I was able to, Father Mark and Sister Lucia, we went and where the children were given communion by the angel,
right,
100 years ago.
Right.
We were in that area, and they wanted to walk to that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the MS, I can't
right,
do
can't,
it.
Right.
So I'm sitting at a bench where Mary appeared to the children in August 1917, because the children were in jail, basically.
Right, yep.
And so they were in this space where Mary came, and there's this statue of Mary. And I'm sitting there alone, and I'm like, okay, Mary, I've written the book. We've got the apps for the rosary. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, now what, which right. I look back at as kind of sarcastic.
Yeah.
Now what? A pine cone came whizzing by my head, but it was like a giant stone. I mean,
wow.
It was an old, old pine cone whizzed right through my head, smashed
wow.
on the ground. And I'm thinking to myself, if that would have hit me, that would have killed me.
Yeah.
But what I realized was, you know, what is a pine cone? And it's right there in front of me. And it was though Mary was saying, don't change a thing.
Mm-hmm.
A pine cone is seeds.
Uh-huh.
And the seeds that I am to plant and we are to plant is the rosary.
Okay.
Just continue to bring people to the rosary. That's
right.
all I want you to do.
Right.
The rosary, the rosary, the rosary. Then I got invited that afternoon to say and recite the rosary with Sister Lucia at Fatima. At the altar.
My goodness.
And you really, I've got this blue booklet that I took in the hospital for the longest. It's got a little sticker on the back that says English, because, you know, I'm going to speak English when I do. But I'm looking over and I see Mary where she was stood
right.
to the three shepherd children.
Yeah.
Talk about full circle.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, what a privilege to be able to go there. And...
Right. And it's our mother going from start to finish, and it's not over yet.
Right.
You know, it's really not over. And I can remember in Portugal where Sister Lucia, one of the three children, she became a Carmelite.
She did. Yeah.
And I went to the convent where she was, and there's a painting that she used to look at, and they made this painting because Sister Lucia, she said, this is how Mother looks, and her heart is pierced with thorns, mm-hmm. and it bleeds. And that's when I could commit right there to Mary as far as, you know, what I had done to you, I've caused some of that bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do whatever I can for the rest of my life for you, Mary, to console you and to comfort you for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know now is that this statue that I have, people can relate to it. It's broken like they are, and
right.
it's all about the rosary.
Right. And through the rosary, they can begin to heal their brokenness.
In the rosary... is the most powerful weapon on the planet Earth. It
mm-hmm.
was given to us by Mary
mm-hmm.
and given to Father Dominic, Saint Dominic, in the 12th century. And it's a battering ram for what we're
mm-hmm.
up against today.
Right.
And more people, I think, well, why doesn't Mary speak to me? And you're not listening. Or if you want, it's the rosary. I often say that when you hold the rosary, you are holding the hand of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hold the hand of Mary, you're holding the power of God.
Right.
So that is a powerful prayer,
yeah.
and it can heal anything.
Well, that's interesting. You should say that one of my favorite spiritual writers is an English woman named Carol Houselander, who was a mystic who lived in the 1930s and 1940s, who actually dated the guy who was the model for James Bond. She dated Sidney Reilly, the ace of spies, yes, in England. So, but it's a whole other story. But she often gave spiritual direction to cases that the parish priest couldn't handle, that were just
mm-hmm.
too difficult for him. And that was one of the things she would say to people who would tell her they couldn't pray. She would say, hold on to your rosary, because when you're holding your rosary, you're holding Mary's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you have to do. If you can pray,
right.
you can't pray, you just hold on to Mary's hand and she'll help you.
Right.
And, you know, so I love that you resonate with that way of thinking, that it's, but what would you say, so Kevin, to like your Protestant friends who would say, well, you know, this is great, but like, what about your relationship with Jesus? How has your relationship with Mary affected your relationship with the Lord?
You know, the Protestants, I was talking about this, you know, the Protestants, the church was created by Henry VIII.
Right.
And look at his respect for women.
Yes.
You know, so
exactly.
of course,
that's a very good point.
He chops off their heads.
Right.
They're not going to be too pro female women, Mary.
Right, right. That's very
look
good.
Look, the bottom line is Mary, with the rosary, every man on earth has to humble himself in front of Mary because even Jesus said, you know, if it makes my mother happy, then I am happy.
Right.
But she will take you to the cross. She's the one that stood. She and John.
Yes.
Out of all the disciples,
right.
They all leave except John
right.
and Mary.
Right.
And they see the entire crucifixion. And so Mary will take you through the rosary is the New Testament. You are reciting the New Testament when you recite
right.
the rosary.
And you're learning about our Lord
exactly.
as you say those prayers and,
so,
and the stories from his life.
You know, yeah. God is so proud of Mary. God created Mary. That's
right.
his daughter.
Right.
And this rosary is a gift from God given to Mary, given to us. And even her son, Jesus, said, listen to my mother.
Right.
Pray this rosary.
Right. Right. Well, that's a very, very beautiful way to explain it. And I do, I just think for a lot of men to hear you say, you have to be able to kind of look Mary in the eye.
You have to.
You know, and if you can't, then maybe there's something
yes,
in your
it's
life.
It's time to be honest. And, you know, and again, if I'm in love with Mary, I'm in love with my wife, I'm in love with my daughter, I'm in love with females.
Mm-hmm.
I respect males, females, humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I often said this, we're out of time.
Right.
This here on earth, this is just a layover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next connection is our choice.
It is permanent.
It's our choice,
yeah.
But it's permanent.
Yeah.
So we're in this layover, folks. You might want to get your ticket ready.
Right. I want to hear a little bit about, you talk about Mary bringing you to the foot of the cross. And so that quite literally happened to you, going to the foot of a cross.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that story? Because
right.
I find that just what happened to you just remarkable.
Well, when Debbie and I first got here, like in 1986, in 1993, in the press here in Chicago, there was stories about apparitions happening at Queen of Hearts Cemetery off Wolf Road.
Right.
So Debbie and I, we took our kids, and if you take a camera, you can take a camera and you see these orbs or whatever. And we took the kids, and you did feel a good energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatnot. And
something was happening.
Something
there.
Was
yeah.
happening. That's 1993. So I got diagnosed with MS in 2008. In 2009, I'm in Chicago. I had to go out to the western suburbs, and normally I'd take the Stevenson, but it was St. Patty's Day, and I couldn't get to the Stevenson, so I had to take the Eisenhower.
Oh, the dreaded Eisenhower.
I hate the Eisenhower.
Oh, who doesn't?
But
it's the expressway
yeah,
I have to take every day.
I get on the Eisenhower, and I hear this voice, go to the cemetery.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay. And as I'm driving the Eisenhower, and I'm getting closer to Wolf Road, I hear it one more time, go to the cemetery.
Wow.
I take the
get
exit.
Get off at Wolf there, right?
Get off at Wolf, and I hadn't been in the cemetery since 1993, and it was way in the back, and I just start to drive. I don't get lost. I end up right at this mammoth new cross
mm-hmm.
that's there.
Right.
And it's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. And I'm sitting in my car. There's a guy in a car next to me, and I'm going, am I going to get out of my car? You know, am I going to just sit here? I'm going to get out of my car. Well, I had my blue little Fatima brochure in the car.
Right.
I take that. I get out of the car. I walk up to the cross.
Now, at this point, your MS is still completely affecting
yeah, oh,
you.
Yeah. My leg is all numb. From hip to toe, my hand to shoulder, I can't move my right hand.
Wow.
And I go up to the cross, and I just had the booklet, and I put my hand on Jesus' feet, because
mm-hmm.
that cross is so big.
Right.
And I just said, Jesus, I am so afraid.
Yeah.
And I just felt this calming effect, but at the same time, I felt water.
Hmm.
Start to gather on my fingers and run down my palm. I mean, it was a lot of water coming all the way.
And it wasn't raining.
No, it wasn't raining at all. It was blue sky, and it was just my arm was just running down water. But I noticed that I could move my arm, which I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on my head, you know, and I put it on my leg, and I went home, and I said, Debbie, look, I can move my arm. And, you know, I look back at that, and not only do I have strength in my arm and hand, but when I said, you know, I'm so afraid and I felt this calming, I've got it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to this day, when I got kicked out of radio, I'm in a grocery store going, how am I going to buy food? How, you know,
wow.
Look at here I
how
am today.
Yeah. Look at, see what the Lord did with you.
Takes care of everything.
And Our Lady, yes,
yeah.
Our Lady takes care of everything. Well, we're going to go to our final break. And when we return, we will, no,
it's good.
Oh, okay. We're not going to go to a final break. We're going to be able to continue our conversation with Kevin Matthews. I'm so pleased. So your radio really changed. And
changed. It radio imploded. You know, you're out of radio. You know, and
right.
So it was like, I'm so glad that I drove into that flower shop, And I could have just ignored that statue.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if I did, I wouldn't be here.
Right. Well, so what is next then for Broken Mary and for your journey? I know you asked what's next to Our Lady and got a pine cone coming towards you. But
right.
I want to hear, though, where do you hope to see yourself in say, just a year or 2 years? And what do you hope, what message do you think that you can bring to people,
yeah.
You know, think of like the number of men over the age of 50 who lose their jobs,
right,
and are terrified because it's so difficult at that point,
mm-hmm,
to find anything.
Right.
You know, I have a friend whose husband has been looking for 3 years for a job and is working for minimum wage right now,
yeah,
and had an incredibly successful career. So I think in terms of your own personal story, that's a tremendous gift. And for men in particular, to hear what you have to say.
Right.
But what are your plans now?
You know, you had mentioned that in the book, I had met a man that became my grandfather who was Iroquois Indian.
Right.
And he was such a gentleman, and he taught me so much. He taught me how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me, Kevin, when you wake up, try to outgive God.
Okay.
Kevin, we were walking in a field. He goes, Kevin, this field we're walking in is the floor.
Right.
He said the four directions, north, south, east, west, those are the walls. The sky is our ceiling. That's our church.
Okay.
And my message to men is, or people, we're all broken,
mm-hmm,
is to have faith. But like I said, the conduit is the rosary.
Okay.
You don't have to be Catholic to hold or pray a rosary.
That's true.
All
right.
Faith.
Exactly.
And again, we're here for a layover. It's such a short, have faith. Maybe go in the direct opposite what you're most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Take the opportunity. Yes, you're out of work.
Right.
For a reason.
Uh-huh.
Maybe go and do something you've always wanted to do and have no fear.
Right.
Take the step.
Right.
You know, you have to take the step. You have to listen.
Right. Yeah. And would you have to, but you have to ask.
Ask.
Right.
Be
and,
humble.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think that's a beautiful message that you bring. You know, your humility, Kevin, is just, is incredibly moving to witness it.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, the humility is, come on. We all have to be humble. We all also have to learn how to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, people can't forgive. You've got to forgive.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Well, that's hard.
Yeah, well, that's
right
up there.
Yeah, it is.
You've got to learn how to forgive.
You've got
to learn how to, you've got to learn that people are going to hurt you. You know, people are going, wow, Kev, whatever happened to you? You know, I still have a good time. But at the same time, I am never going to deny Mary,
mm-hmm,
at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fight for her.
Right.
You know, St. Dominic.
Yes.
This priest was given the rosary by Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Dominic used to think of himself as a dog of God.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I want to be a dog of God, and I want my pack to get really big.
Right.
You know, I talked to 200 people yesterday, and I said, you know, let's join this pack and just protect everything that is holy.
Mm.
Because we live in a time when my Christianity or my love for Mary get my head chopped off.
Oh, sure it could.
You know, and I say everybody's going to be told that again and again. Will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anybody in here, you're held hostage, hey, who's a Christian?
Right.
Are you going to raise your hand?
Right. Well, would there be evidence to convict you, right?
But you know what I'm saying? We're living in a time when you're going to have to make a choice, you
mm-hmm
know? Either you're all in or you're all out.
Right. Well, tell me, like, how have your former coworkers in radio, you know, I mean, your lineup was with the best of the best. And have you shared this with them?
Oh, yeah. Well, the book's out.
Right.
You know, the book's out. The reviews are out. And I'm to a point now where I just want to, if I can comfort people, I'm not preaching,
right,
but I'm just saying, you might, you know, here's this rosary, man. It's pretty, you know, I love how millennials, I really want to gravitate towards millennials because
mm-hmm
they're falling out from belief.
Right.
But you talk the rosary, everybody's making craft beer and leather and, you know, they're getting beards and tattoos and I'm the old artisan.
Right.
There is nothing older than the rosary. And I want to get a bunch of guys that have tattoos, big long beards, and hold the rosary that are about 23 years old,
mm-hmm,
and say, this is cool.
Yeah.
This is good. This is old school.
This is really as retro as you can get.
This is old school.
Right.
And I know Our Lady would love that.
Yeah. Would you have you found a resonance with like male spirituality groups, or has that become part of what you're doing now?
I had a woman call
you're
me.
You're kind of a guy's guy. So
well, I love, and I had a woman go, you know, why don't you come on over and, you know, do you meditate? Because I know this woman that does this. She's got crystals and she meditates. And I said, well, I say the rosary.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept going back to the rosary, the rosary, the rosary.
Right.
So it would be fun to do that.
Yeah. Because I can really see you making an impact, you know, with men who, for whatever reason, you know, feel alienated from the Catholic faith,
I would love to.
Yeah, don't want to show people their love for Our Lady.
I think I'm doing something because I'm doing something up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Another person that I really encourage everybody to read is Father Don Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
He used to follow the Grateful Dead.
Right.
Got kicked out as a kid, like 18, from Japan for selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, this young priest, Marian priest, he's killing it.
Yes.
He's bringing people to the rosary. Yep. He is an authority on the rosary. But yes. I watched him speak yesterday.
So you're here in Chicago because you were at a conference.
With him.
Right, with Father Calloway. Excellent.
And I've known him now for about 5 months. He's doing great stuff.
Yes.
Everybody go to YouTube.
Yes.
Look up Father Don Calloway.
Right.
His testimony and his power, the rosary, is spot on,
yeah.
Especially you guys listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he is.
And he's a guy's guy as well.
He's a guy's guy.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted to ask him yesterday because he followed the Grateful Dead. I want to say, Father Don, I know you don't follow the dead, but if the song Box of Rain comes on,
mm-hmm.
you telling me you don't listen to it?
And what did you don't know because you didn't get a chance to opportunity to ask. Well, what
playing in the band?
Yeah.
If that comes on, Father, are you going to listen to it? I bet he would.
Well, tell me. So you know, as essentially a lifelong DJ professionally, what were your musical influences? What were the groups that were there? Any that spoke to you in sort of a spiritual way?
You know what? No, not really.
So there wasn't any particular band or group that you...
No.
No, okay.
Why am I thinking Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was
the
right
cool
way.
That's just a cool thing to say, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Music, though, is very, very beautiful, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we think too much into things.
Right.
Like, I ran into a lot of folks this week that were... It's almost like they've got too many rules as a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. I'm trying to get this guy to do this and this and this and this and this. You know, it's okay. Just unplug for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You only have to pray once, and God can take care of it. That little Iroquois Indian friend of mine, Santa,
right.
He used to say, he'd listen to these people just talk. He goes, man, you talk too much.
Right.
You know, or he'd say,
you don't
hey,
listen.
He'd say, you know, God just called. He said, you can take the day off.
Yeah.
He's
well,
got
you
it.
Were, well, speaking of your influences, if there weren't incredible musical ones, certainly Native American spirituality.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Was a tremendous influence.
Yeah.
And so you met this person you call your grandfather, Sana,
yep.
and he introduced you to others. Were they from the same Native American community?
They were. We met Dene, Hopi, especially Minnie Kanju Lakota,
mm-hmm.
who are sixth generation related to Crazy Horse.
Right.
It was, you talk about getting to know the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Right.
And they teach you how to pray.
Right.
You know?
And what about the way that they taught you to pray has stayed with you? I mean, you devote more than a chapter to this in your book. So it obviously was a tremendous influence on you. And you talk about being part of a prayer circle for a very sick girl.
Oh, yeah. I can remember, you know, we had this little girl and she had cancer. And doctors given up. And this elder from the Dakotas came in and the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We all prayed. And this elder said, if anybody has any doubt here, just leave. Just leave.
If you have any doubt that God can heal this child, right.
Then leave.
Right.
Leave. We did that. And boom, the prayer service went real quick, and he basically said, she's going to be okay. He looked at me and goes, and this is after Santa died. He goes, you got to let Santa go, you know, because when we keep calling our elders back that have crossed over, you know, they want to leave. But this little girl, she was 8 then. she's still alive and well today. You
Isn't
know,
that
she's
incredible?
Yeah,
yeah. So the Lord did heal her.
And, Oh yeah.
Well, when you were learning more about this Native American spirituality, and then you learned the Rosary, it sounds to me like you've kind of combined the two. You listen a lot when you pray, and so what would an average day for you be in terms of your spiritual life? If that's not too personal a question, like do you pray your rosary in the morning? Do you do it while you're, you know, driving?
Well, that's what I love about my apps. And everybody can go Google brokenmary.com.
Right.
You can save that to your phone. Or Apple, you can say that. Just, you know, I make it so it's easy to listen to, you know.
Okay.
You can be doing the dishes. You can be driving.
Okay.
That's what I love. You know, you're constantly always in prayer. You're always thinking. You're always talking.
Right. And but I do, you know, what you said about unplugging.
Yeah, unplug.
Right.
Because you know what? And I learned this. You can't hear when you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we're praying, we're talking. So there comes a time when you just unplug, close your mouth, close your eyes, keep your ears open.
Yeah. Well, tell me, so how did your wife react to all of this?
My wife, you know what? My wife has always been, she's always loved Bernadette.
From Lourdes.
And
yes.
Lourdes, the 160th anniversary is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always been very, very close to Bernadette. She's always been close to our mother. You know, she's a good human being. She's a good woman. She's a good mom. She's a good teacher. She's been so patient. You know, she's like Sister Lucia, that Franciscan nun.
Right.
And she can get a temper, you know. I mean, she should have dropped me a long time ago.
Oh, well.
And I think she can bypass purgatory.
Yeah, she took her marriage vow seriously.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I think it's I mean, what an incredible testament to, you know, your commitment to each other that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how I would react if my husband came home with a statue of Our Lady broken in half and
said,
voice told me to get this.
Because every once in a while I'll have Broken Mary, because she'll go, people will take her into hospice or intensive care. She's going to start going into prisons and whatnot. Every once in a while I've got to take Broken Mary. I'm not going to leave her in my truck. I bring her in the house.
Sure.
And so Debbie will say, hey, Broken Mary, how are you, or have a cup of coffee with her
Do you say your rosary with your Broken Mary image?
Oh, that
often?
Is one of the most powerful things. Anybody listening, if you want some power, if you want to feel power, come over to St. Anthony's in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Say a rosary and then ask for anything you want.
Really?
But commit to the rosary for the rest of your life and commit to the unborn.
Okay.
And I guarantee everything will be answered.
We've got just a couple minutes left, but I you do mention that a couple of times in the book, the commitment to the unborn. Let's talk just a couple of minutes about that. I'm someone, I've been very involved in the pro-life community for many years now. In what way, praying for the unborn, is Broken Mary doing anything in terms of reaching out, like maternity homes or pregnancy centers?
Yes. My biggest thing right now has been the Rosary and Fatima, and next is the unborn that I'm getting. And I, as a male, can really, there's something about women that they need to forgive themselves if they've given up their baby.
Right.
And so I think that's next.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Matthews, I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you.
Again, brokenmary.com is the website. The book, Broken Mary, A Journey of Hope by Chicago radio legend Kevin Matthews. Pick up a copy. It's great Advent and Christmas reading. This has been Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see?
All it felt
can you
such
see?
Meaningless
the wind, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say?
way when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?